I would encourage people to pay attention, you know, to what we're dealing with. And if you really, really want sports and football and all those things, and wear your mask, you know, and keep social distancing. And I shouldn't say just football. You want school and everything that we look at as normal to go back to close to normal. We got to fight the fight and be disciplined, you know, about this. And I think some people have assumed that the worst is over, or I'm not going to get it, and it's not. We all have to pay attention and be disciplined with this.
Tennessee Athletic Director Philip Fulmer on the Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone, putting out the message and call for folks to wear the masks and do what it takes, and we'll see if those things can help get the job done and get football back on the field this fall. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Door. 7:21 is the time with Mark Howard and Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Kevin Ingram. Blaine is out this week, and we bring in David Ubben of The Athletic. Does a great job covering the University of Tennessee. David, how you doing this morning?
Yep. Was the SEC meeting yesterday with Sankey and the athletic directors and a few others? Did it go about like you might have expected, with nothing really being decided just yet?
Yeah, it was kind of just talking through their options. I think, you know, they've always kind of aimed to make the decision as late as possible, and it's looking like, you know, late July is when you're probably going to see some decision come down. But I think quite a bleak tone coming out of it from Greg Sankey, who basically said, you know, the numbers aren't good. They're going to need to see an improvement in the COVID-19 numbers, you know, across their region to feel like it's in good shape. And, you know, I'm not sure how that's going to occur.
If the SEC was to go to a conference-only schedule, David, explain how Tennessee might could use a provision in contracts to its advantage.
Yeah, we wrote about this yesterday at The Athletic. You know, there's going to be a lot of lawyering in the time to come across college sports, across a number of industries. But in Tennessee's game contracts with Furman, Charlotte, and Troy, they explicitly cite, you know, a pandemic as one reason why they can be freed from any obligations if the game gets canceled or doesn't get played. And that's $1.3 million to Charlotte, $1.4 million to Troy, and $500,000 to Furman. So, you know, if they go to a non-conference only schedule, that's $3.2 million that is probably not going to be tied up in litigation. You know, I'm sure they may try and reschedule that. Nobody really had a lot to say. Tennessee said they'd, you know, work with their opponents for a solution. But a lot of programs do not have that language in their contract and are sort of kicking themselves for it. But Tennessee did, so props to them for the nice lawyering. That's one thing. You know, everyone across the country is in a budget crunch. Everybody's going to be worried about a lot of things. That's one less thing on Tennessee's plate. Not a huge deal, but certainly helpful for them.
Even if they're not under any obligation to, David, would there be maybe a show of good faith or say, hey, you know, here's a few bucks to help you out? And, you know, with, you know, those smaller programs really relying on that money.
In normal times, maybe. Right now, I would be shocked if that was the case.
Tennessee has not announced any positive tests among football players. As I said earlier on our show, you got to give them props for being responsible, but does it almost seem like luck as much as anything, just given what we've seen everywhere else?
I think the luck factor was more, you know, when guys were spread out. You know, now that they're sort of in their own space and back on campus and living in their normal stuff, I think you got to give guys more credit for being responsible. You know, when you're around the country, you know, your family members could get infected. You know, you could live in a hot spot. I think there's a lot more luck when the program was shut down and guys were strewn about the state and the country. But now, you know, you talk to people around the program, they're taking things pretty seriously. Social distancing in the facility, obviously, you know, sanitizing everything pretty often and pretty well. And there's not a lot going on campus, so, you know, guys are I'm sure, you know, mostly hanging out with each other. So props to them for all that. There's some element of luck, but, you know, guys are doing what they need to do.
From The Athletic, our guest is David Ubben. A great job covering the University of Tennessee.
David, what does Philip Fulmer have in terms of plans for, partial occupancy of Neyland Stadium? Does he have a number of different plans out there? How is he preparing for this?
Well, they've been pretty tight-lipped on that. I mean, Tennessee, publicly is not willing to say anything besides we're playing on the season as normal. You know, full stadium, all 12 games, that's sort of been their stance. Essentially, because I think it comes down to they know that they can give refunds a lot easier than they could try and sell tickets or, plan for a game that they thought was canceled or all those things. So, everything's on the table. They've got to prepare. I think certainly coming home from Birmingham yesterday, I think he probably has a better feel for where the wind is blowing from a conference perspective. But it's interesting. I think he just has to prepare for everything. But Tennessee is not really willing to publicly entertain the idea that this is going to be anything but a normal season, which I think they obviously know that's not the case. But it's a strategic move, to try and help themselves, I think, financially, ultimately, in a situation where, everything is, had a lot of financial questions.
Do you think if they go conference only, they'll add conference games to maybe get to 10?
Yeah, I think probably. Maybe not 10, but at least 9. I think that's going to get pretty contentious as to, who gets added. But, you want, obviously it's about money. And I think that's going to be a big part of it. That money means a lot for a lot of places on campus. And, you're obviously going to be short. But if you can, regulate testing within your conference and logistically can pull it off, I'd be shocked if you didn't see them add games. I wouldn't say that it's a guarantee, but if it's logistically possible and they feel good about it, I think they're going to try.
My big question has always been, it's great that they have, zero positive tests right now, but when the players have to, go back out into the regular population, how do you realistically not expect problems?
I don't think you can. I think college campuses, I don't think you could put a worse scenario for not spreading the virus than a college campus. You have a lot of people who, believe they're invincible. We've all been 18 to 22. I probably would not have been the most responsible person, but I'm fine. I'll stay away from my family or all those things. And then, of course, if more campuses, there's only been a handful of campuses that have said we're only going online only. Tennessee is still trying to do things in person. Most schools across the SEC are trying to do things in person. So you have guaranteed situations where there's going to be people interacting. Social distancing, in classrooms you can handle that, but you're not going to have every student adhering to that. You can regulate masks, which helps, but, when you start adding the student population on campus and players have to interact with their fellow students who, are certainly not going to be as responsible as them on average and, probably not even their families. I think it's probably going to be an issue.
You wrote a really good story on the recruitment of quarterback Caden Salter, who's part of the 21 class. Talk a little bit about what he said set Tennessee apart and really keyed his decision to make a commitment there.
Well, I think two things. I think one, they made it clear, Tennessee had been recruiting some other quarterbacks for the majority of the calendar, but around late April, they kind of said, you're the only guy that we're really recruiting right now. They've had a couple others try to commit. We want you. And he felt pretty good about that. He felt really wanted. And so that was part of it. He felt like he was going to be a priority. And then, two, he's made most of his, renown in Texas as a runner. He can throw a little bit, of course, and show that off at Elite 11 year. But he wants to develop as a passer. He doesn't want to go somewhere where they're going to ask him to run, 200 times a season. And so Tennessee's pro-style system is going to be different. But he wants to be a passer and wants to aim for the NFL. And he feels confident that that's where he's going to do it and not going, obviously Auburn is in the mix there later. And I think you look at how Auburn uses their quarterbacks, especially guys that can run, it's a little bit different. Tennessee, that's not the case. And he wants to go from spread to a pro with that, which is going to be a bit of an adjustment. But he wants to make that adjustment now. I mean, he wants to play in the NFL, and certainly can use your legs and make that an asset. But he wants to use them, you know, as a second resort and develop as a passer first. And that was a big influence on him.
You're starting to hear that the college basketball season might not start on time. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've heard that you're thinking about moving it up. I mean, I think right now, considering all the financial implications, I mean, football is just the only thing that they're really caring about. Basketball, you know, I think in some ways it's a little more manageable because there's just a smaller roster. You know, obviously in college sports, you're never going to be able to have the same sort of bubble idea that you've had in the pros. But it's smaller rosters, but then in the same breath, you're playing indoors, and everything we've heard is that, you know, indoors is a little bit more dangerous than outdoors when it comes to just, you know, being around each other and the transmission of diseases. And of course, you don't have face coverings. You know, players are not going to be playing college basketball in masks. So, you know, I think it's possible, but I think right now all the league's energy is still focused on football because the stakes are so much higher. And I think they feel like if they can play football, they can play basketball. And so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I have not heard a lot of conversation about basketball, you know, from folks inside the league. It's just more, hey, we got to focus on football and figuring this out and trying to make the right decisions.
David, we've heard, and we're speaking to David Ubbin of The Athletic, covers Tennessee. JT Daniels got a waiver to play right away at Georgia. Tennessee waits on Cade Mays. When might we know something on him, you think?
You know, I had heard that there was kind of a bottleneck. UCLA was just dealing with so many other issues with the coronavirus stuff and trying to figure out legislation that they held off on doing that. But then I was surprised that JT Daniels' decision was so quick. I think there's some truth to the idea that they tend to make those decisions a little quicker on quarterbacks. But we'll see. You know, I think it depends on a lot of things. You know, sometimes it takes a while to collect all the information. You know, I was talking to Tom Mars earlier this year, and I've talked to him a little bit since we wrote that story. But he was talking about these waiver requests, right? Okay, so sometimes they can be 3 pages long, and it's just like a support statement and explaining your case. Sometimes they can be 300 pages long, and they can include medical records and in Cade's case, there is a lot of screenshots and text messages and DMs that they're including in his file. He said it's probably somewhere in the middle of that 300 to 300 page range, probably over 100 pages. So, you know, it depends on when you submit it. It depends on the circumstances. And everyone's always so tight-lipped about this stuff that it's hard to know where people stand. So it's not quite as simple as, well, he transferred in December, and then he's still not eligible, and then Jake Daniels transferred later, and now he's already eligible. It depends on when you kind of submit. It depends on what it takes to review. It's just a very imprecise process. And then, of course, now you've had a lot more cases. I think you know, Tom Marshall told me that the case flow has been has exploded. I think it was, I want to say he said it was about 300% of what it was, you know, only a couple of years ago. Because anytime a guy transfers, the idea is, well, I might get it, so I might as well try. And then what happens is the office gets overrun. And so it's not the greatest system. And, of course, they punted on, you know, an automatic one-time transfer rule that was up for discussion this year that could have come into effect for all guys, you know, next fall. But they kind of kicked the can down the road. I think that's coming eventually. But, again, with all the stuff that's going on with the coronavirus, they were not interested in spending a ton of time on that. So, I still, you know, I haven't heard anything to believe that Cade won't be eligible in the fall. I think it's, you know, it's not a slam dunk, you know, 100%, but pretty good. And, you know, I think I'm sure the JT Daniels thing is frustrating for Tennessee fans, but like I said, it's never quite as simple as, you know, when this guy transferred or when this guy left. And now it's really, it's just the process is pretty complicated.
David, we'll let you roll. Thank you so much. Always enjoy our time with you.
Thank you guys. Anytime.
All right. He is David Ubbin of The Athletic and one of the best in covering the University of Tennessee. You can read his work on The Athletic website, including, Mark, interesting columns he referenced about how Tennessee can use a provision to save some money if you get into a spot where you're playing conference-only games and the four non-conference games don't happen.
Yeah, I think it would make it much easier. I still don't think there's going to be a lot of litigation. I don't think schools want to get into that. I think it's lengthy. I think it could ruin relationships. And I think that, you know, everybody, it sounds like everybody's going to be fair here. But they're, you know, they're not going to be compensating, you know, these schools, you know, monetarily. I think they'll compensate these schools with, you know, another date, you know, another game down the line.
Yeah, if those schools still have football, you know, when you get to that point.
What's that?
If those schools still have football, you know, when you get to that point.
Kevin, it's not a charity.
I understand that, but geez, man. I mean, this, you know, if you don't get that money, if you're those schools, I mean, I totally get all of this that you're not going to pay them if you don't have to. But man, it makes life tough on those programs that depend on those paychecks from, you know, playing those games against power conference teams.
Hey. Collectively, somebody came up with the number $140 million is going to be the number of loss, you know, for these schools collectively, even if they play this fall, you know, without fans in the stands and everything like that. I don't know how they arrived at that number because it's such a moving target, but it sounds about right. And the other number to watch for is 16, and that's the number of varsity sports that you need to remain an FBS school. So, you know, that's sort of the other, you know, thing we have to look for. I think a group of five schools might be forced to do something dramatic. I don't think there's any question about it, but these are the times we're living in.
Yeah. All right, 7:37 on 104.5 The Zone, Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming up a little over a half hour from now, David Beauclair of Sports Illustrated will join us. On the way next, oh, hey, Preds, welcome back. More of the Wake Up Zone coming up in a moment.